Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be reading starting with the 14th verse. Hebrews chapter 12, reading verses 14 through 17. Hebrews 12, 14 through 17. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Father, we believe that you have been speaking through your Spirit tonight, as we have sung together and prayed together and worshiped thee in this service. And now we pray that thy precious Holy Spirit will come upon us in a powerful way to help us see the importance of being honest with you, responsive to you, to listen to your word, and to walk in your light, that we might live with you forever. In thy name we pray. Amen. Our subject tonight is simply this: the deadliness of delay. One of life's biggest problems is that of procrastination or needless delay. Now, you probably all would agree, see, yeah, that sure is a problem. A lot of folks have that problem. Well, the truth is, all of us have that problem to some degree. For example, without any hesitation tonight, I would say there are probably some here having a problem with their teeth, and you've said, you know, I must get to the dentist and get that fixed. I see some guilty people right from here already. They grab their mouth and say, you're going to take care of it, but the weeks roll on. You haven't taken care of it yet. As soon as it stops hurting, you say, well, we'll wait a while. Maybe it won't hurt again. But it will. Some of you sitting here tonight, you said, well, listen, I want to do my duty. I want to be responsible as a good citizen. And you can be sure I'm going to be registered to vote in this general election. But Tuesday came, and Tuesday went. And you didn't vote because you kept delaying to get registered. Now I'm going to spoil the service for some, because there are some of you here tonight in high school or college. You have a test. Some of you perhaps tomorrow. You've known about it. It was announced long ago. You know that it's coming. And you've been going to study for it. You really have. Oh, you've just had big plans. This was one test you were going to be ready for. But you're not. There are some of you seated here tonight who said to yourselves last year, just about this time, well, one thing's going to be for sure. This year it's going to be different. I'm going to have all of my tax material together. And when December the 31st comes, I'm going to be ready to go and get that thing done and get it in early this year. But you didn't. The deadline came and found you hustling into the late hours of the night to get your return in before the deadline.
somehow the human mind works this way. Maybe if we delay making these decisions and implementing these decisions, maybe if we delay long enough, maybe somehow the problem will resolve itself. There may not be a need to act at all. But what it really amounts to is this. When we say we are delaying a decision, we're wrong. We're really saying we decided to let the matter just go to blind chance. We decide to gamble and take our chances. But the problem is conditions are not static. When we say my teeth need work, but I'll think about it next week, we're really saying I'll just let my teeth decay another week. When we say it's too bad I didn't get the house painted this year, maybe it can take one more winter. What you're really saying is that you're going to gamble on an easy winter and take a chance with your most expensive investment. That's poor, poor reasoning. Just as poor, but not so deadly as those who say, though I know I am a sinner and I know I need to be saved because nothing happened to me yesterday, chances are nothing will happen to me today, I will delay my decision for Christ just a little longer. And tonight I want to talk to you about delaying our decision for salvation. Delaying our decision for complete consecration or commitment to God. For these are the most deadly delays. These are the delays with the most tragic consequences. These are the kinds of delays the devil specializes in helping us make. But I caution you tonight with this word. It is a delay the Bible encourages us to avoid making. In 1 Kings 18 and 21, we read these words. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And Jeremiah 8 and 20 speaks of those who delayed too long. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. In Luke 13 and 25, Jesus speaks of the judgment and the fate of those who delayed their salvation too long, for he said, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. No amount of tears will help us then. We will have delayed too long. Now our scripture this evening tells of another who delayed the right decision too long. Let me read these words again. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I find those rather pitiful words in God's book. Afterwards, oh, how he wanted to get his life straightened out afterwards. But it was too late. Those of you who have been pastors here tonight know as I know how many young people, middle-aged people, older people, you have had to deal with who have said to you, "Oh, Pastor, I never intended for it to work out this way. I had no plans for my life to fall into such disarray. I had no reason to believe there was going to be such disaster and heartache and heartbreak, and I become so involved in so many things I never even dreamed of." Afterward, they tried to change all that had gone before. But friend of mine, let me tell you tonight, after the deed is done, it is done. There's no going back and changing what has already been done. Esau repented, but it was too late. He had lost the rights to his birth. And I've told you before, that birthright was an important proposition. He was to be the ruler of the household. He was to be the family priest. He was to receive a double portion of his father's estate. But biggest of all, he missed the blessing of Abraham that would mean the Messiah was to be born of his offspring. Why did he miss it all? Because he delayed making the right decision. He said, "For the time being, I'll sell my birthright. I can get it back later." But the word tells us, though he sought it with tears, he couldn't get it back. Remember this, bad as it was basically an earthly inheritance. But if you're delaying your decision for Christ tonight, you stand to lose your eternal inheritance, your divine birthright. Salvation by faith in Christ's cleansing blood. You have a birthright tonight, my friend. Jesus Christ has given you a divine birthright. You have the privilege, you have the opportunity of knowing without any question that your sins have been forgiven. That Jesus Christ is living in your heart and life. And if you should go out into eternity tonight in the twinkling of an eye, your divine birthright is this. You have the assurance that you'll spend all eternity with Jesus Christ. Your birthright, your divine birthright, it's yours. But you have to be born again to claim it. You say to me tonight, "Well, it means I'm going to have to give up so much and miss so much." That is the oldest lie the devil has. That's the one he caught Eve with. You're missing so much. You're missing so much. Come and see what I have for you to taste. And she tasted, and it was bitter in her mouth for disobedience to God always brings bitterness to life. Now I say to you, don't hold back your pitiful little fortune. God wants to give you your inheritance and make you a spiritual millionaire. Why would you delay any longer? Some things in life can apparently be delayed with only minor consequences. But other delays prove fatal. And your decision tonight to delay your salvation just another day could result in your loss of a divine inheritance. And I say to you tonight, don't be lost. You know what it means to be lost? Paul Reese has said there ought to be a bureau of missing words. and lost would be one of them. We seem to forget the word exists. Do you have any idea tonight what it will mean for you to be lost throughout all eternity? Oh, you can smile tonight. You can be cool. You can say, man, don't worry about me. I'll make it. Yeah, you'll make it right straight to a devil's hell. That's where you'll make it. Do you have any idea what it would mean to live in a world where you couldn't pray, where God couldn't talk to you, where no amount of praying by mom and dad or no amount of concern by pastor or people will make any difference? Once you're lost in this eternal lostness, my friend, you're beyond the reach of any kind of help. And you who delay are subject to being lost forever. The thing that keeps you going tonight is you say to yourself in your more terrified moments, someday I'll get it all straightened out. Someday. But so far, that someday hasn't come. And unless something happens, it may never come for you. Felix delayed. He said to the Apostle Paul, as Paul preached to him of righteousness and judgment to come, he said with a trembling voice, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Give me a little more time. It just doesn't fit in with my schedule to be saved right now, you see. I'll take my chances on being lost. Some more convenient season, I'll call you. Doug Jones just wanted a little more time. It's all in the world he wanted. It was just a little more time. Now, what's so bad about a guy wanting a little more time? We were in college together. Nazarene College. We were preparing for the ministry. Doug was preparing for the ministry. When it came time to leave college and come on down to seminary, continue our preparation, Doug said, I just need a little more time here in the area because, you see, I'm in this insurance business. And you know, I'm called to be a missionary. Gonna go to the Philippines one of these days. But I want to get the whole picture set up, you see, so I'm self-supporting. So I don't have to be a burden to the church. I want to make enough money so that it won't cost the church a nickel for me to be their missionary. All I need is a little more time. We encouraged him to come on down. Come on, Doug. You know, you're through now. Time to move on to the next step of preparation. No, fellas, just a little more time, but I'll be down there. I'll be down there to join you. Won't take long. Just a little more time. Every time we'd see him to talk to him, as the months went by, he just wanted a little more time to make a little more money, to be self-sufficient, so he could pay his own way on the mission field. Business got better. He made a lot of money. So much so, success so great, he decided that he ought to develop his own insurance company, which he did. It was successful. It grew and blossomed and grew. Made all kinds of money. And to some of us who were barely able to make the refrigerator payment in seminary, it looked like maybe Doug was smarter than the rest of us. But as the months came and went, and the financial empire grew, it got a little top-heavy and began to teeter and shake, tremble. And Doug Jones was faced
with financial ruin. And in order to keep that from happening, the banks were telling him they needed more collateral if they were going to be able to sustain their loans to his company. And so he showed that he had more collateral than the banks thought he had by changing the denominations on some bonds owned by the company. Just a little adjustment of the numbers on the bonds, that's all. Change them from 100 to 1,000, from 1,000 to 10,000, just a little adjustment there in the bonds. The only problem with that kind of thing is there's a law against it. And the next thing Doug Jones knew was that he was a hunted criminal, hunted by the FBI. In desperation, he went out to an airport, broke into an airplane hangar, stole an airplane, and flew to Mexico. But he didn't fly far enough. They found him. He was sentenced to the penitentiary. My friend, Doug Jones, all in the world he wanted was a little more time. All in the world he did was to delay the right decision too long. And I believe with all my heart that Doug Jones would be a missionary tonight, and a good one, instead of an ex-convict, if only he hadn't attempted to delay God's plan for his life. You say easily tonight, oh, I'll never be guilty of fraud and theft. I've told you before, I tell you again, you don't know what you'll be guilty of before the devil gets through with your life. But mark it down. Just as Jesus has a plan for your life, so does the enemy. And his plan is to destroy you. And he will. Unless you make your decision to go with Christ. You see, the only thing you need to be guilty of in order to miss heaven is delaying your salvation just 1 second too long. You say, I've committed no crimes. You can check on me. I've never done anything all that bad. The only thing you need to be guilty of in order to miss heaven is delaying your salvation just 1 second too long. We live in a day when seconds mean a lot. A high-speed collision, it just takes a second to die. We live in an age of missiles, just a matter of minutes and seconds. Some 30 years ago, in Hiroshima, a quarter of a million people died with just one blow. The whole thing just took seconds. And I say to you tonight in love, my friend, delay no longer. Repent in tears now while it'll do some good, not after the hour of your salvation has passed. It could be, it just could be, that God is trying to give you a second chance tonight. It could be, just could be, that God is trying to open wide his door this night for you to enter into the joy of serving Jesus. You say with Felix, thanks. But let's make it some more convenient day. But God says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Delay not a second longer. Decide for Christ right now. It was about this time of year, near Thanksgiving, there was an accident right here in the city limits of Olathe. They called me to the hospital because the husband of the woman involved in the accident was so overwrought they were unable to help him. I went immediately to the hospital to see if I could minister to him in any way. He was a young adult in his middle to late 20s. His wife had been in the car with their two children. They were going to be all right, but she wasn't. The surgeon told us there was no way she could live. And he was right. She didn't. I remember his pain that day as we tried to minister to him and comfort him. And he kept saying over and over again, if only I hadn't let her take the car. He said, you see, Reverend, the accelerator had been sticking. I meant to get it fixed, but I kept putting it off. And now it's too late. Delay. Delay. The deadliness of delay. He went on to say, Reverend, we'd been planning on finding a church one of these days, but somehow we've kept so busy. We never found time to find a church. They delayed too long. It was too late for her. She never did find a church. It was a sad day for me, as well as for that family, because I saw these fine young adults, everything to live for. And now it was too late. And I thought of other young adults. I thought of college students, older adults, just drifting, just coasting, just going along with the tide, planning to someday really discover God's plan for their life, someday really get right with God. But so far, it hasn't happened. And my task tonight is to tell you there is deadliness in that kind of delay. What's your story tonight, friend? What is your story, anyhow? I tell you, delay no longer, but accept Christ right now. If you're drifting, stop the drift and go with Jesus. For I'll tell you this, new and vital and fulfilling living is at your fingertips through Jesus Christ. Will you turn with me in your hymnals to hymn number 232? Let's stand together. We're going to pray, then we're going to sing. Hymn number 232. Dear Father, serious truth has been the order of this message. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to make others think about it. But every day, the newspapers tell us there is an end to this business called life. Sometimes it happens to the very young. Sometimes to the not so young. But one thing we're certain of, sooner or later, death will claim us all. Oh, what remorse there will be for those who had the thrilling opportunity to give their hearts and lives to Jesus. What regret there'll be afterwards. But afterwards, we'll be too late. Will thy precious Holy Spirit come to us tonight in such a way that if there are those here who have delayed their decision to go with Christ, they'll delay no longer. But rather than that, they'll step into that nearest aisle and take the necessary steps to kneel at this altar of prayer, not a place where they join the church, but a place where they give their sins away and invite your Son, Jesus Christ, to cleanse them and to live in them and to be the Lord of their lives. Oh, Father, may every Christian pray as though eternity were in the balance. For it surely is. And may everyone be obedient to thy call tonight. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Let's sing this first verse together of hymn number 232. If you have a need, why don't you come?
Just as I am without
coming, why don't you come too as we sing on?
Just as I am.
Positive and powerful way, trying to get you to face the truth of your life, the truth that is your life. And he asks you this question tonight. Down in your heart, you figure someday you're going to get it straightened out. Then I ask you this, what do you have to gain by delay? Let me give you the answer. You have absolutely nothing to gain, but you do have everything to lose. Why be a loser when you don't have to? Why not be a winner? Come to Jesus. He's calling you tonight. Why don't you come and join these who already kneel here? He's here. He wants to help you. He will help you if you let him. Delay no longer. Come to him now as we sing this next verse together.
Just as I am though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Others are coming. Why don't you come with them, friend? Come on. That's it.
Just
step right out. This is your night. God, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. He said, this is it. I want you to make the journey. I want you to do it tonight. Presence of the Holy Spirit here tonight. Oh, it's a great time to pray. In an atmosphere like this, make all the difference in your life. But we're not going to extend our call much longer, but we are going to sing another verse. And if you have a need, won't you come? Won't you come? Why delay another day? All delay has done for you to this point is to compound your frustration, your anxiety, your soul agony. Delay has done nothing for you but hurt you. To say nothing of its deadly potential. While we sing this next verse, and maybe all we sing tonight, won't you come? Delay no longer.